We're going to continue our series, Are We Aware? This morning we're going to talk about, are we aware of God's angelic host? Are we aware of them? Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14, all through chapter 1, there's been a contrast between the ministry of Jesus and the ministry of angels. And we get to the 14th verse and it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? When we look at this verse in context, we understand that in this contrast and comparison between the Son of God and the angelic ministers, that of course Jesus has greater glory and has preeminence therefore. But then it says in 14, not to diminish the ministry or the placement of God's angelic beings, it says, are they not all ministering, talking about the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So Jesus and his ministry is greater than the ministry of angels, but the angelic ministry is still necessary in our life. We need what Jesus provided. We also need what the angels provide. Each of them have their own lane, and each of them have their own assignment to do the will of God. Jesus fulfilled his assignment. The angels are still fulfilling their assignments. I think to a great degree, most of us are unaware of angelic activity in our life until after the activity has occurred. Then we look back and we say, surely an angel was involved in that. In the moment, sometimes we're in shock and awe. Maybe because of the circumstance or the season in life that we're in, we're just oblivious to God and his angelic host being active in our life. And this morning, my desire as we get into God's word is that you'll see they're much more present than maybe what we're aware of. And being more aware of it, maybe it will help us to walk more wisely, more prudently, and more gracefully in this life. We'll go over to chapter 3 now, and chapter 13, and we'll look at the first two verses. So let brotherly love continue, and all the saints said, amen. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Isn't that an interesting way of summarizing something? So he begins this wonderful book by contrasting the ministry of Jesus with the heavenly host or with angelic beings. And then at the end, he gives us some wonderful admonition, you know, that because the book of Hebrews is all about, one word can summarize it, it's about better. And because of Jesus, everything is better. He's a better high priest. We have a better new covenant. We have a better and a perfect sacrifice. And he did what he did once and for all. And in light of all of this, a grand instruction and wonderful truths, he's saying, and never forget and never be negligent about this. Let your brotherly love continue. With all the knowledge that you're gaining about what is better, remember what's best. And what's best is to let love lead. But then he goes right into this statement, and do not forget. How many of you can be forgetful? Some of you have a look on your face right now like you forgot something. No, you're in church. You're paying attention. We're all here together. Yes, this is not a dream. So he's saying, all right, let brotherly love continue. And then he says, and never, never forget this. He said, never forget to entertain strangers. This is setting us up to see if we're going to pass life's test. Strangers aren't people that are familiar with us. They're strange. And we've been taught in our culture, stranger danger. Don't intermingle with strangers. You never know what's going to happen. When we were growing up, my mom had a cougar. Not like a real one in the house, but the car. And it was a sleek vehicle. It was a good looking vehicle. I remember sitting in my mom's Cougar. And of course, growing up in the South, my brother and I would sit in the back seat. My mom sat in the front seat. And the reason that we sat in the back seat was for our own protection. Because how many of you know before seatbelts, there was the right arm of your mother? And so we knew if we sat in the front seat, that if she had to hit the brakes or if she accelerated, we got a big thumping across the chest. The other reason we sat in the back seat, just to give you a little insight into my childhood and why I am the way I am, I'm still a recovering person from sibling abuse. My brother and I would fight in the back seat. And you know, mom can't drive and fix a fight at the same time. And a lot of times she didn't know we were fighting, but if he touched me, that was too much. Don't touch me. Stay on your side of the cougar. Stay over in your seat. If he pinched me, don't pinch me. And pretty soon it goes from touching to pinching to punching. Have you ever been there? All right. But we would be driving down the road. And in those days, there was a lot of hitchhikers in our nation. And there was an occasional time where my mom would pull over and pick someone up. And then she would take them as far as we were going to go and drop them off. And she would say to us, I don't recommend that you pick up everyone, but there are real needs out there and there are people that need help. And there's nothing wrong when you boys get older if you see a car that's broke down, even if you don't know them, even though they're unfamiliar or a stranger, it might be nice for you to pull over and see if you could help them. Now, I know today there's a different set of rules when it comes to how you go about making that decision. But honestly, there are people that still break down at the side of the road. And these are tests at times that I wonder how we're doing with as Christians. I went to Walmart yesterday, not once, not twice, but three times. And no, I was not doing a plumbing project, because if you do a plumbing project, you're bound to go back and always get more parts. And Mike Jones is wondering, you know, what are you talking about? Yvonne's laughing hysterically. Somehow they've been to the hardware store multiple times. But in my world, I was looking for flowers. And I thought, who doesn't want to take advantage of an 80-degree day? I know it's April. I understand. But they're so nice to look at. And so I pick some up and I get home and I think, you know what? I could go get some more. I go get some more and then I get some more. And while I'm coming and going, there's the same gentleman standing on the corner in a hoodie who has a sign that says, I could use help with gasoline or with food. And in my thinking, I'm like, Doug, this is an opportunity for you to pass a test. Now, not everyone stopped. I don't know how many people stopped. I thought of myself for a moment of the story of the Good Samaritan. And I began to think, all right, what's sort of the criteria for helping someone? Well, they're in a bad place. If you can identify someone who's in a bad place, even if they're a stranger, you may consider helping them, because in doing so, you might have entertained an angel unaware and you may have passed a significant test in life. Sometimes people come across our paths for various different reasons, and sometimes they come across our paths so we can help them because they're hurting. The story of the Good Samaritan we know is that he was taken advantage of, and he, you know, they beat half the life out of him, so he was in a place where he couldn't do anything for himself. How many of us have walked by people who, because of life circumstances, not because of anything that they did wrong, are in a place where they can't do anything for themselves. They're helpless. And God has poured out his love in our hearts, so potentially we would yield to that love and be able to serve and to help them. I think it's wonderful instruction that unwittingly, unknowingly, being unaware at times, we have entertained angels. This is one of the reasons I believe that God has given us heaven. And let me explain, is because we won't know who all those people are till we get there. Part of the grandeur of heaven is the things that we have done for others who were in bad places or who couldn't do things for themselves. Heaven will tell the rest of the story. I think that's one of the wonderful things that will take place in heaven. We will actually see those moments where we yielded or submitted to the love of God or the Spirit of God, and unaware at the time, we entertained an angel. We may not have identified them as an angel. We wouldn't categorize them as an angel. But in heaven, we'll say, oh, that was an angel. I thought it was just a stranger. I thought it was just someone I didn't know. Gets us to pondering and to thinking. You know, our Christianity just can't be a Sunday go to meeting thing. The Christianity has to be lived out if it's authentic and real and it's impactful and influential. It can't be something that we just do or a place that we go occasionally, but it has to be something that we're committed to consistently. We're consistently committed to being as sensitive and aware of God's activity and what He would have us to do in light of it in this life, because heaven will tell the rest of the story. I think that's part of those grand words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did it to the least, to strangers, to people that you had no connection with, and you did it unto me. You passed the test. Way to go. There's wonderful accounts in the Old Testament where God manifested in human form, but it was identified as an angel. First, let me just remind you, this isn't in your outline, but how many of you have heard the story? If you've grown up in church, you've heard this phrase, Jacob's ladder. Remember Jacob's ladder? What was the activity on Jacob's ladder? The angels of God ascending and descending on Jacob's ladder. There's a great message there. The message is that heaven knows what earth needs. Heaven knows what earth needs, and God dispatches His angels according to the need. So there was an awareness that Jacob had that at one time he didn't. Suddenly he had a vision. He saw angelic activity, and it caused him to consider his ways. And consider his ways he did, and he grew and matured in character, and he became more pleasing unto the Lord, to the place that God blessed him mightily. I think of the account where the angels appeared to Abraham. And they said, you're going to have, not many, a year from now, you're going to have a baby. And they were messengers that were sent. But they looked like you and I. He actually prepared a meal for them. They sat down and ate. This is the category that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, is that people sometimes with messages that God sends into our life are here and then they're gone. You're going to see that here in a moment. Angels don't linger. They do what they were told to do. Once they deliver or do the task that they were assigned unto, then they leave. As quickly as they come, they go. They don't linger. And I think sometimes we have a deja vu moment when we look at this particular subject matter and we're like, that could have been. Yeah, that might have been an angel. That might have been an angel. So let's look at a few of the things that I've written in your notes here. Angels are created spiritual beings. They are God's agents, which means they're executioners of His will. They're His messengers, which means they're carriers of divine truths and warnings. They're His servants. They're waiting for His assignment. They're hearkening unto His word. And then I've given you lots of different scriptural references. But let's look back at maybe one of the ones that's the most familiar. Let's go to the 91st Psalm, and we're going to look at verse 7 through 14. And so if you want to turn in your Bible with me back to Psalms 91, and for those that are watching online, thank you. Stay with us. Verse 7 through 13 is going to be on the screen or your device for you to follow along. So Psalms 91 and verse 7, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High God, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. The activity of angels in our life has been documented, has been given unto us so that we would be aware that, yes, thank God for Jesus and that He is always with us, but there's also the ministry of angels and they are constantly working in this world. We say all the time, and rightfully so, and we always want to give Jesus the first and the best. And we say, Jesus is with us. He's with us by His Spirit. And He will never leave us nor forsake us. So He is never going to be apart from us, and emotionally He's always going to be there to prop us up. But there's also other created beings that God has made, and for very specific purposes. Angels' activity should not be ignored. It should be not looked at lightly. These are magnificent created beings. I know the Precious Moments statue sometimes dictate that an angel looks just like a baby with a harp and some wings, right? I think of the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and George Bailey wondered why he got a second-class angel, and he said, well, just no getting around. I mean, look at you, and look at me, and of course I get an angel like you. Angel second class, he didn't have his wings yet. There's a lot of TV shows, Touched by an Angel, the great baseball movie, Angels in the Outfield. All of which somehow sort of resonate with us, whether you're a Christian and you're not a Christian. You get to talk to people, and they may not want to talk about Jesus, but they'll talk to you about angels. They believe in guardian angels, even though Scripture never uses that reference. They believe in somehow, some way, in some mysterious form that they were preserved or protected, and they liken it unto an angel. The angels are a part of God's workforce. And there's untold number of angels. But you know, there's only three angels that are mentioned by name in Scripture. And when it says there's thousands and ten thousands and thousands and thousands and ten thousands, you know, it's like gazillions of numbers. It's a lot of angelic host, enough that each and every one of us, according to Scripture, from our youth until the time that we depart, has an angel that's on assignment, that's always standing in the presence of the Lord, waiting to be dispatched for us. Jesus talked about that, and we'll see it here in a moment. And some people say, well, when I grow up, will I outgrow my angel? No. They're assigned to us. It's part of what they do because they're created by God and want to please and honor Him. I've heard the joke that regardless of, that angels aren't around if you're going over the speed limit, but they'll stay with you if you are going the speed limit. I've discovered I probably don't need an angel if I'm going the speed limit. But I might need one if I'm not. Angels' assignment sometimes is not based on our conduct or behavior, but upon God's care and providence. If they're protecting me, sometimes they're protecting me from my foolish and emotional decisions at the moment. Sometimes they're protecting me from somebody else's foolishness or emotional decisions. But nonetheless, I don't know that they stop doing what they're called to do or assigned to do because you and I are breaking the speed limit. Just to throw out a misnomer. Sometimes parents use that to leverage their kids to obey the law. But I'm just saying this is not permission to disobey the law. So we just get all of that squared away. All right. They excel in strength and they hearken unto God's word. We can see in 2 Kings chapter 19, we won't go there, one angel in one night slew 185,000 Assyrians upon God's command. That's what you call a good night's work if you're an angel. Well, what did you do tonight? Well, I did God's business. What was that? Well, I went and took care of some of the enemies of God. I took care of some of the enemies of God. There are seraphim, there are cherubim, there are heavenly hosts, there are fallen angels. Yes, there are fallen angels. We would identify them in Scripture as evil spirits or demonic spirits. Sometimes they're principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But here is the good news, is that even though they are active, there's more that be with us than be with them. You remember the story of Elisha and his servant was concerned because they were outnumbered by the nation of Israel was outnumbered by their enemies. And what did the Lord, Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open. And then he saw all around them chariots and angelic beings and hosts. And Elijah's was, hey, there's more that be with us than be with them. We're not outnumbered. You and God are a majority, and angels are part of that entourage that's walking with you. We would like to say they're the unseen bodyguards of the body of Christ. We look at entertainers or artists or athletes and someone in politics or someone who's got some recognition, name recognition or face recognition, and they always have these big people around them. And these big people protect him. Well, you've got bigger people than what they have around you, and they're protecting you. These angelic, magnificent beings. And in the realm of the spirit, they're active all the time. Daniel tells us there's a war in the heavens between what? The forces of darkness and the forces of light. In order for God's will to be done, we must continue to persevere in prayer. So I've been dropping some breadcrumbs here that we're going to look at in Acts chapter 12. But let me just note to you, we are not instructed anywhere in Scripture to worship angels. And they won't receive worship. And so that's just something that we should never enter into. Angels don't act on their own accord. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipresent. They're not deity. They're created beings. And so let's go now, if you would, to Acts chapter 12. And I want to read this story because all through the book of Acts, there are numerous different ways that the ministry of angels is active. But in Acts chapter 12, and we're going to begin in the fifth verse. So Peter's in jail for doing a noble thing. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Everybody say prayer. When Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping. He was bound with two chains and two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off his feet. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Put on your garments and follow me." And he went out and followed him and did not know what was done by the angel was real. He just maybe thought he was dreaming, but thought he was seeing a vision. Verse 10. And when they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and they went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And Peter had come to himself. He said, "Now I know for certain that the angel, that the Lord has sent his angel, and he has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people." Let's pause there for a moment. I'll read a few more verses here shortly. So I stated at the beginning that I think most of us don't know angels are active in our life till after they're active. And here's a point in case. I also said that prayer is a part of what releases angels to do the will of God, and we see constant prayer being offered up. Take heart. Your prayers avail much. Take heart. You don't know how many times you've offered up a prayer, and you don't know, but heaven is before us all. It will tell the rest of the story that your prayers protected and kept and preserved somebody. Would you keep praying even if you don't see anything? Would you believe that your prayers reach the ear and the heart of God, and that as a result of that, those angels that are there are dispatched on behalf of His servants? I am. I'm going to keep praying. You know, Shar and I pray every day. We pray about many different things, but without exception, we pray for our family every day. And we pray for our son by name every day. I'm glad we pray. I'm glad for God's angels. When are they needed? When they're needed. They're not needed when we would like to be entertained by them. We need to be entertaining them. They're not here as a dog and pony show. And nor are they here for someone to just build a ministry on. And for some people that are hyper-spiritual, they love to just talk about seeing angels, talking with angels, interacting with angels, being caught up to heaven and interfacing with angels. And I think to myself, you just really have a vivid imagination. Because none of those things really are written about the ministry of angels, nor are we instructed to ever pursue a relationship or a conversation with an angel. They show up because they're who? Remember what we started with? Let's get this straight. And I believe that each and every one of you have this. They are God's agents. They are God's messengers. They are God's servants. They're not our servants. We don't boss our angel around. Our angel, we're no match for our angel. They excel in strength. We're created above the angels, but in some way, in some mysterious divine providence of God, right? They love serving us. They hearken to His word. If you're a person who knows the value of speaking the word of God by faith, angels are active when you're doing that. Do you know they're actually here in this service, listening to this message and saying, it's about time, Pastor, that you gave us a little air time. No, they're not saying that. It says they're constantly listening and looking into the wonderful work of redemption. For this reason, they have been watching mankind mess up for a long time. And while they're created and they have the ability to make a choice, we know that because of the three angels that have names in Scripture. Can you name them with me? Only three. Gabriel, Michael, and what's the third? Lucifer. Lucifer took a third of the angels with him so they can exercise their will to rebel. But the ones that chose not to keep their domain with God, and they're looking in and longing to know more about this wonderful salvation and redemption, it's because they're like us in this way. God is good even when these people are really bad. God is faithful even when these people really aren't faithful. God is merciful even when these people are making a mess. And they're looking in saying, you know, that's amazing. It's wonderful. It's awesome. And as I said, they are honored to do the will of God. So they're looking in, they excel in strength, and we can see Peter's surrounded by soldiers. He's got two chains on him, and pretty soon prison doors open, the chains are loosed. He's in a haze. Walking out of the city, he He's got one angel walking beside him. Another angel that they don't see opens the gate. Now he's in this place. Let's continue to read. In verse 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, so he's going to John Mark's house where people were gathering to pray. And it says, he knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but she ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his what? His angel. Where did they come up with that kind of thinking? I'm just about done, but I want you to go back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. And I think they got it from Jesus. Maybe the early church was a little bit more aware of angels than what we are in the day and the age in which we live. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10, Jesus is speaking and he says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus taught that angelic activity was constantly a reality. Whether we're aware of it or not, I pray that we would become more aware of it. Who is Jesus protecting here in his teaching? The children, the innocent, strangers. And he's saying, hey, you better be wise and you better be prudent and you better be careful about how you go about handling these kids. Because their angel is on assignment and is always in heaven standing before the presence of God. So Rhoda got it right in that she was aware that there was an angel. She was in prayer. She was in tune. She was in step with what was going on. And to the joy of the early church, it wasn't Peter's angel. It was Peter. And Peter was there. Why? Because of Peter's angel. And to God be the glory for that. I also mentioned to you, as quickly as the angels come, they go. They don't linger. They're not going to have coffee with you. They're not going to give you, you know, the next chapter so you can have a copy, you know, a publisher's deal and have copyrights to more insight on angels. Everything we know about them is already written. It's already been said. And what we need to do is just thank God that we're never alone because of Jesus. But we also have assistance in this life because of angels. And maybe that would help us not to live in such a reckless way. And potentially, I pray, it would create an awareness in us that maybe we don't need to walk by people that we don't know, especially when they're in a place where they can't do anything to help themselves. Let's pass this test. And in doing so, some of us may have just entertained an angel unwittingly, unaware. But heaven will tell the rest of the story. And if not, you just helped another human being, which isn't that a good thing also?
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged or inspired you to God's best. If you have any questions about today's message, need prayer, or would like to learn more about Living Word Fellowship, please call 641-828-7119 or visit us at lwfknoxville.com.